Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
By the way, it is not hot in here. Oh. And I just called my oldest daughter, Sarah, and I said, if you do not have to get out today, do not.
There's some wrecks.
She goes, well, we were thinking about going to the grocery store.
Nope.
I said, no, I think that would be a very bad idea, sweetheart. By the way, Coats for Kids launched this morning.
Oh, perfect day to launch.
Yeah, no kidding. So it runs from today through December 19th. If you can, if you're able, willing to make a donation to Coats for Kids, what we do is we take your donation and we buy brand new coats for kids in Kansas City who, for whatever reason, don't have one and are sitting at the bus stop and they're freezing every morning or they're in class and they're freezing. And we work with several school districts, including Kansas City, Missouri, Hickman Mills, Independence. We also work with Foster Adopt Connect, the Center Academy for Success, Pinnacle Bank, by the way, terrific sponsors over the years, as well as Operation Warm. You can make your donation by going to our website. $25 buys a brand new coat for a child here in Kansas City. So go to our website, kmbz.com, or text KMBZ Coats, one word, KMBZ Coats, to 44321. And in advance, thank you. Thank you for your support of this program over the last two decades plus and your generosity. Coats for Kids today through December 19th.
All right. So did you see the video of the now former football coach in Mississippi leaving to get on a jet plane to go to his new football home?
So this is right, Lane can't keep a job Kiffin. And it's not that he can't keep a job because he's not good. The man has a commitment problem with every single program he has ever coached.
Or he has an abundance of commitment because he keeps recommitting to different people.
So he left Ole Miss today. Lane Kiffin, now the head football coach at LSU.
At the rival LSU, did you see the boos and the words we cannot repeat on the air?
And middle fingers.
And the middle fingers. Mm-hmm. People in Mississippi lined up in droves to scream at him, get the hell out of town. And then there is a post that has surfaced overnight, Scott, showing the college dumped all of his belongings onto the street outside of the college.
The man cannot stay in a job.
Okay, but let me ask you something. Come on now.
What?
We're going to allow players just to willy-nilly jump mid-season twice, thrice, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. there's more money involved. Why would we expect anything less from a coach? He was making, what, $6 million in Mississippi, and didn't they offer him $50 at LSU?
It couldn't have been that big of a jump.
It was enough money that I remember thinking,
not 50 a year.
Yeah, so would I.
Two, three, four. Hang on. Logan, jump in here for a second while I count how many teams he's coached for over the last 28 years.
Kiffin was making like $9 million a year at Ole Miss, and I believe he's going to be making somewhere in the vein of $12 million a year to coach at LSU. It's 7 years, or 13, sorry. 7 years, $91 million. So $13 million a year plus a very generous set of incentives, including LSU having to pay him incentives for how Ole Miss performs in the college football playoff this year after he left.
Well, did you see, too, and this made me laugh, that he agreed, even though he said, I quit, he agreed, but I will stay and coach for the remainder of this season. Uh-huh. And Mississippi said, oh, hell no, you won't. Good. Get the hell out.
Good. Yeah, if you're going to go, go. And Lane Kiffin.
That's like someone coming home to their spouse and saying, look, I'm leaving you. It's over. But I'm happy to stay here through the holidays.
Why don't you get out in a bag to the left? By the way, in the last 27 years, he has held no fewer than 17 different coaching positions. Not always as a head coach. Not always as a head coach. But 27 years... 17 different coaching positions.
Why not wait? And I will say this. Why not wait until the end of the season? Don't you usually wait until the end of the season to make the announcement? Well, players too.
Do you remember do you remember Glenn Mason at KU?
Oh, very much so.
And he had taken the Jayhawks to, I believe, the 1995 Aloha Bowl.
It was all right.
It might
have
been 97. I can't remember. And he quit KU to take the job at Georgia. He never ended up coaching at Georgia. He accepted the job, then turned it down, came back to KU for one season, coached the Jayhawks in the Aloha Bowl, and then left for Minnesota.
Okay. Yeah, I think most of the time, yes, coaches will wait until after the season is over. But what has made this year so different is the number of coaches who were fired during the season. I mean, James Franklin was fired 2 months ago. Brian Kelly at LSU was fired in early October.
Right.
So, I mean, it's been 2 months since these jobs became available. It's just in this situation with Lane Kiffin, your team's 11-1. Like, you're going to the college football playoff. Could you not wait like 3 weeks for this?
Someone replied, and this is from a Mississippi fan. So Lane Kiffin turning his job decision into a spectacle isn't ruining college football, but athletes leveraging their talent for financial security is. I'm just trying to keep up.
Bingo. You know,
I said the same thing.
The system is broken. It is completely broken.
Then you force people to stay once they commit?
No. Well, or you, let me just say this. If I'm LSU, I'm putting a rider in his contract that if he leaves us like he's left everybody else, he's paying us a lot of money. I don't understand. When you're watching a college football game and they go, you know, starting at quarterback is, you know, Logan Weber, played last year at Weber State, played the year before at Colorado, and the year before that at USC. He's now on his fourth university in 4 years.
What do you think his man cave looks like? It's a cornucopia. It's various colors and photographs.
A lot of banners.
I don't have a dog in the fight. I really don't. I just think it's a little hypocritical that everyone's screaming that a coach is doing what all of the players have now been allowed
to do. But you do have a dog in the fight as a fan. And here's why. Let me explain this. Name one player on the KU men's basketball team. I can wait.
I will tell you, we had a thing happen this last year where they all left and went and found other opportunities.
Because the portal is the devil of college sports.
Yes.
So I'll try again.
So Coach Self has stayed many, many years. Mm-hmm. And before him, I can name a whole lot of players that were on the team.
Yeah, of course you can.
Yeah.
Name one player on the KU, your alma mater.
Right.
You love to watch KU men's basketball.
They're all very tall.
They are very
and
tall.
And very new. And I even said to my mom the other day, I don't know anyone's name yet.
Name one player.
I can't.
I know. That's what's wrong with the portal. You cannot name a single player on your favorite
team. Well, they lost their entire starting lineup.
That's my point.
Wasn't it Baylor that lost?
The entire team.
The entire team.
Yes.
See, I don't think that should be allowed, but I don't know how you stop it.
Right. You stop it the way you stopped it back in the 80s and 90s. If you play for the Jayhawks, Dana, right?
Yeah.
And you decide, you know what? I can make more money at Baylor, which, by the way, there needs to be a cap on how much money these players can make.
Mm.
And, oh, yeah, absolutely there does. And you decide, you know, I've played 2 years at KU, and I'm making $1 million a year, but Baylor's going to pay me $4 million a year if I transfer.
Yeah.
go ahead and transfer, but like in the old days, you lose a year of eligibility. You have to sit out for a year.
Okay.
So you remember when...
Okay.
Let me use the KU men's basketball team as an example, and this is when I was in school. Rex Walters transferred after, I believe, one season. He played at Northwestern.
Okay.
And then he transferred to KU. He lost his sophomore year of eligibility and played for two seasons at KU. Jared Haas played one season at Cal,
and then
transferred, and Jason Kidd, by the way, was the other player in that backcourt at Cal. Jared Haas transferred to KU, sat out his sophomore year, and played two seasons.
So you think if we said, okay, you can jump, but you're going to lose a year of eligibility, it would cap the number of people jumping?
It would cap the time, the number of times that you can jump to one.
One. You better make it a good decision.
Make it a good choice, and you'd probably be wise to do it right after your freshman year.
Mm.
Because you're going to lose your sophomore year, and then you can play for that new university for 2 years.
Or it has to be a contractual obligation. Or these guys at 18 years old have to sign a two-year, three-year deal with the school for X amount of dollars.
You don't think the coach had a contractual obligation?
Oh, absolutely they do. That's why I don't feel any love lost for these coaches that are leaving, because that's what they've always done. That's what we've seen for years and years and years and years.
Definitely at Lane Kiffin.
It is dirty. But it is a dirty job.
The players always get the blame for it when the coaches have no loyalty to them. So why should they have any loyalty to the coaches or the institutions that these people play or coach for? Because if they don't perform well, the institution will let them go at the drop of a hat and pay you a $60 million buyout to leave.
913-586-7798, 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Story here from the New York Post. A Massachusetts woman gained two long-lost sisters through a DNA test, then tried to net a fortune when she sued them a month later over a malpractice settlement involving their dad. Carmen Thomas, who is 28, took a 23andMe DNA test in February of 2023 and learned that she had two biological sisters, Callie and Abigail, whose father Joe died in 2018 from an aneurysm. Joe was 43 when he was admitted to the hospital after complaining of pain spreading through his body. After Joe spent nearly an entire day in pain and struggling to breathe, doctors determined that he was suffering from an aneurysm, but it was too late to save him, and he died the following day.
Enter Carmen, who does a 23andMe test and finds out, unbeknownst to her, that the person she thought was her real biological dad was not. That her real biological dad was named Joe, in another part of the country. So she reaches out to Joe's two full biological daughters, I think their names are
Callie and Allison.
Callie and Allison.
Abigail.
Abigail. And she says, hey, Callie, Abigail, my name's Carmen. I just did a 23andMe and Joe is my father. I would like to meet you guys. Now, keep in mind, by this point, Joe has already died of an aneurysm at age 43.
Correct.
So she just reaches out to the siblings and says, hey, I am your sibling. I'm sorry about what happened to Dad. I would have loved to have met him. Can we meet? The sisters reluctantly say yes. Mm-hmm. And I believe it was about a month after they all met, this $28 million inheritance comes into play. So I was wrong about that one fact. The family wasn't a millionaire. The family got a $28 million
settlement
from the hospital where their dad suffered this aneurysm. So they get a legal settlement for $28 million. Carmen then says, we're not splitting that $28 million two ways with the two biological sisters. I want to split it three ways. She was Joe's daughter, and she made the argument.
Well, come on.
She now will never get to know the dad she would have known, and she is also a victim in his death.
Is she?
Well, that depends on how you look at it.
Or is she just a money-grabbing
opportunist? I don't think she knew. Now, just wait. She does 23andMe. 23andMe says, these are your sisters. She reaches out on social and says, oh my God, this says I have a dad and you are my 50% match. Who are you? So when she reached out initially, she had no idea of knowing that there was an aneurysm, that there was a death, that there's going to be a $28 million. So she just had no idea. So in the beginning,
you're almost painting her as a good person.
I'm not. I'm just saying in the beginning, this, I think she had good intentions. With money, in like any other family, Scott, money makes people do crazy things. She then finds out there's a $28 million settlement and is like, look, I'm just as much his daughter as you are.
Yes, you are. And no, you're not. Yes, biologically, you are just as much his daughter as the other two. But you never knew Joe. Name one thing about Dad Joe that we don't know.
Well, Carmen, she knows that his DNA produced her. That's it.
That's all she knows.
That's all she knows. And keep in mind, she did not know anything about the verdict came, I think, a month after she contacted the sisters.
Did she get money? You mean the lawsuit?
The lawsuit. The so it's my understanding that a court has ruled against her.
Good.
Saying she's, you know, preying on the family during a difficult time. Mm-hmm. However, I will ask you, if Joe were still alive, is there any financial responsibility there? These cases happen all the time now that we have these genetic testing websites.
Like if he, let's say he was still alive, hadn't died of an aneurysm, and was worth $300,000.
Yeah.
Does this Carmen, who's going to get some karma, does Carmen get, or is she entitled to $100,000?
I would argue probably not.
I would argue the answer is no.
But where do you draw that line? So
Joe, I didn't know you existed.
Right. Here's where, well, we don't know that Joe didn't know that there was a daughter out there somewhere. I mean, these 23andMe things tend to uncover this stuff, right?
Fair.
So this Joe was not worth $28 million until he died. This is why I side with Joe's family.
So do I.
When he died, he was probably worth, let's say, $100. When he died, he had $100 to his name. The $28 million doesn't come in until 3 years later when the lawsuit is settled and all of that stuff. I do think there is some argument to be made legally, if she is his daughter, does she have any right to the pre-lawsuit estate when he was alive? And I'm just asking.
No. One of two things occurred here. Either Joe had some sort of relationship,
yes,
obviously, with a woman.
Yes.
And that bore a child that he either didn't know about or didn't want to know about. or Carmen was put up for adoption.
Yeah.
Okay. And we don't know the full backstory on Joe and how this Carmen came to be. But she is entitled to zero of what
Post.
These... Exactly.
I agree.
Any more than her two biological sisters. Let's say that Carmen was raised by an adopted family. Okay. We don't know. Any more than these two sisters could say, well, you raised our biological sister, and therefore we're entitled
to some of your money,
to 2/3 of whatever you have.
It's ridiculous, but I bring it up because guess what people get under the Christmas tree every single year for the last 10 years? People gift these DNA kits. And I'm telling you, they've never come out and said what percentage of the, oh, hell, happens when you do these tests.
I actually regret taking it.
I think it's a higher percentage than we think.
913-586-7798. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the greatest songs of all time. And Prince is actually in the news today, or at least his childhood home, where he used to plink tunes out on the piano as a very young, very talented little boy. Is it on the National Historic Registry or something now, Scott?
His childhood home?
Yeah, I think they're trying to get it.
I don't believe so.
I think they're trying to get it salvaged, if that is the right word.
It is currently abandoned and in need of some serious TLC, despite the city of Minneapolis recently granting it landmark status.
Landmark status.
So what will happen to it next? It may look modest, but the Yellow House on the corner of Upton and 8th Avenues in North Minneapolis is where greatness took shape.
It's your grandma's house. I'm just going to tell you right now, it is your grandmother's ranch. It has the same white screened door with the little, you know, what do you call the flare on our grandparents' doors when we were growing up? The little wrought iron flare on the exterior storm door.
That always made that clanking sound that we all can hear in our heads.
Every old person has that door.
Mm-hmm.
It's your grandparents' house.
His cousin, one of his cousins, a guy by the name of Charles Smith, would come over and hang out in Prince's basement bedroom as the future star riffed on his dad's piano, copying tunes from their favorite shows and superheroes. One of them was the Batman theme. The other was Sanford and Son.
He said he started playing guitar right in front of him like he'd been playing it for 100 years. I'm telling you, he was ordained to play the guitar.
He played 21 different instruments, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Most of Prince's recordings, unless he is with a band called the New Power Generation, which was the 90s, most of Prince's records are only him.
They moved in just before Prince's 7th birthday, and the legend lived there until age 12.
Mm-hmm.
It was there says his cousin, that by age 8, he had mastered the piano. Prince's parents divorced in that house. His dad moved out, leaving him then with unlimited access to that piano. So I wouldn't say it needs to be salvaged. It doesn't look like it's falling down, but it probably, if they're going to make it into a museum TLC. Or something, yeah. They probably need to save it.
Well, I don't even know that they need to make it a museum. There already is one,
yeah.
And it's his Paisley Park home in Minneapolis, which for reasons unknown to me, I have never been to it.
There was a similar struggle, by the way, for what to do with Aretha Franklin's childhood home in Memphis. Why couldn't we make it some sort of community music program? I think it would be fitting. Genius can come up out of anywhere, says the cousin. And I love that quote because when you look at this house, it really is your 3-bedroom, 1-bathroom.
It looks like any home on Knoll.
Tiny, tiny ranch.
In Nolan Park.
Yes.
I'm not saying you don't salvage the home. What I'm saying is, do we need to make every childhood home of every famous person in the United States a landmark?
Don't we have Walt Disney's home protected here in Kansas City?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I know we have Satchel Paige's home protected here in Kansas City. So I don't know the answer.
Because life goes on, right?
Yeah.
And right now we're talking about it, but in 100 years when people go, oh, that's Prince's house.
Who the hell's Prince?
Will people say, who's Prince? Well, do you remember Bruno Mars? No, who's that? You know, in 100 years.
Right. That's my point. I mean, is that it doesn't mean anything in 100, 150. I mean, if it was Abraham Lincoln, all right, I get it.
The president's childhood homes. I believe you saved those.
Yeah. And so Abraham Lincoln's home in, I think he was reared in Springfield, Illinois, if I'm not mistaken. Do you try to preserve that as best as possible? Yeah, of course. But is it absolutely necessary? No. What about Bill Clinton's home in Hope, Arkansas?
His childhood home, actually. We had a local architecture firm work on the preservation of that home. I know that for a fact.
In Hope, Arkansas.
Wherever he grew up as a child.
Which was a turd.
Yeah, of course.
He grew up in abject poverty.
Of course. But don't you think that makes that saving? That someone who lived in this house that grew up in absolute poverty ended up having the greatest career and highest office in the world.
Yeah, but again, as I often ask, where do you draw the line? You know, what about Michael Jackson's childhood home? What about Bruce Springsteen's? I mean, we're gonna have a
blocks full of just
entire country of empty homes that people go, oh, I guess he was right there. I don't know. That's Bruce Springsteen's old house.
I think the president's yes. Where we draw the line after that, I don't know.
Luigi Mangione, the man charged with murdering United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson, was in court today for pretrial hearings about which evidence will be allowed in his upcoming trial in New York City. He has pleaded not guilty to 9 state charges, including murder, as well as other federal charges that carry the possibility of the death penalty. Back in September, a judge dropped 2 other state terrorism charges against him. His attorneys, Luigi Mangione's, are arguing that certain evidence should be excluded from trial because of how it was obtained.
So real quick, Scott says to me, you guys, out in the newsroom, Scott goes, I'm telling you, he's going to walk. And I go, what? He is alleged to have murdered a man in broad daylight. It's caught on tape. How much guiltier can you be? Mm-hmm. And I go, what are they trying to suppress the gun? And Scott goes, yes.
Yes.
They are trying to suppress the gun and anything found in his backpack because
anything.
It was an illegal search. They're claiming, his attorneys are claiming.
His attorneys are claiming that when he was spotted in that McDonald's in Pennsylvania, that they went through his backpack, which included the gun.
Some manifesto.
There was a manifesto in there. There was a notebook, and I think the manifesto was in the notebook, but they did not have this is what his attorneys claim. They did not have a warrant to go through his backpack. They also claim, his attorneys, that the police, the state police of Pennsylvania, started questioning him without reading him his Miranda rights.
Well, that's a problem.
So they're arguing.
But it doesn't mean
that
he's
the gun is not admissible. The manifesto is not admissible. Any statements he made before he was eventually, I presume, read his Miranda rights are not admissible, and they may be right.
Okay, let's just say for argument's sake, they say, Mr. Eyebrows, you know what? We're going to go ahead and rule that the gun is inadmissible. We cannot put the gun into evidence. You still have this man with those eyebrows gunning down a man on one of the busiest streets in the world, caught on surveillance tape. They can't suppress all of the surveillance.
Refresh my memory. Is his face ever videotaped?
You can see the eyebrows. And that's how his mother or someone ended up looking up at the news and saying, oh, God. Because, Scott, you cannot hide from those eyebrows.
I understand.
And in fact, that's all they could see at the McDonald's. They played the 911 call today where the McDonald's manager says, and I quote, I have a customer here that some other customers are suspicious of, that he looks like that CEO shooter from New York, quoting here from the unnamed McDonald's manager. They played this in court, right? Okay. All they could see was the eyebrows. According to the manager, an older female customer was, quote, really upset and frantic after seeing Mangione eating breakfast in the rear of the McDonald's. She noticed that the customer was trying to be non-discreet, her words, while she scoped out the suspected killer. I can't approach him, said the manager. He shot that CEO. I got you, the dispatcher responds at one point. All they asked was, like, how can you identify him? Mm-hmm. The McDonald's person said mid-height and mid-weight, but, quote, all we can see are his eyebrows. I don't know what to do here, guys. He was wearing a mask and a stocking cap.
Right, skull cap. Yeah.
Meaning his eyebrows are so Bert and Ernie Bert,
right,
that just with a mask on and the beanie and all you see is the eyebrows, people in that McDonald's were freaking out saying that is the guy that shot the CEO. And so same eyebrows you see on surveillance when he shoots the guy.
So when I tell you in the newsroom today, and I've told you this from the day he was arrested, that I think this kid is going to walk, and I shouldn't call him a kid, he's 27.
I said you were crazy.
Here's why. No, and it, my argument is even bolstered today, and here's why. Number one, if his attorneys win this fight and they get his manifesto thrown out, they get the gun thrown out, and anything he said to the Pennsylvania State Police thrown out, you couple that with the fact that not only is he good looking, but I think a lot of Americans, and I'm not agreeing with this,
yeah,
okay, but I think a lot of Americans would be sympathetic to his views, not necessarily what he did allegedly, but sympathetic with his views. And it would not be the first time that somebody we were all convinced was guilty was acquitted. Casey Anthony, O.J. Simpson. Because the jury was sympathetic to the accused.
He had a fake ID on him, by the way, that identified him as Mark Rosario.
Mm-hmm.
After that, you hear the responding officer call in the name Luigi Mangione and a birth date. The judge has not yet ruled on whether to allow the 911 audio or the gun or the manifesto.
You can't convict somebody on their eyebrows.
You can on those, Scott. I'm sorry. Look at him. It's him. Now, God help us all. If he had shaved his eyebrows and then gone out and done this, we still wouldn't know who he was.
913-586-7798, 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
You guys, I had a question for Scott during the break, and I want someone in law enforcement or the law to tell us this. So you remember at the time when this CEO was murdered.
Brian Thompson.
We knew that we were looking for this kid with very distinct eyebrows. We also knew that he was clearly believed to be armed and dangerous. You remember other healthcare CEOs were getting security teams. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think I would have been worried that he was going to walk into McDonald's and murder me, but he was clearly armed and dangerous at that point, right?
You cage a rat, they're going to want out. Yeah.
His defense lawyers are arguing that the police that showed up at the McDonald's that day, after people called in and said, we think we've got eyebrow guy here, never should have looked in his backpack because they hadn't read him his rights. It was a violation of his rights.
They didn't have a warrant.
They didn't have a warrant, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But follow me here. The authorities are saying, and I'm with the authorities on this, that they thought, and one of the officers says this in her body camera, I'm looking in the bag to make sure, quote, there ain't a bomb in there or something. This is her exact quote. One of the officers said, at this point, we probably need a search warrant. Okay. The woman had looked in the bag, the female officer. A male officer said, at this point, we probably need a search warrant. She replies, I'm just trying to make sure there's not a bomb or anything in here. Wouldn't we want our police officers with someone who is suspected of this horrible crime caught on tape, who is known to be armed and dangerous? He's number one on the FBI's most wanted list. Mm-hmm. If the officers had said, "Now we're good, keep your bag, we're going to wait for a warrant," we would all be screaming. They did find a loaded handgun in there. Do they not have the right to protect themselves and the general public around him?
So if I am pulled over for speeding, that doesn't necessarily give you permission without a warrant to go through the trunk of my car.
But if you are pulled over, Scott, because we are looking for a mass murderer, and I call in and I say, the guy that you're looking for is right next to me in traffic, I know it's him, it looks just like him. Mm-hmm. Is that not your probable cause to at least be cautious when, yeah, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm not, maybe these McDonald's customers were wrong, but I don't think it's necessarily unexpected that an officer would look in that bag when, in fact, people were calling in saying, this is a murderer all been told is armed and dangerous.
Well, take, for example, the Afghan national who's accused of shooting the two National Guardsmen in D.C. the day before Thanksgiving, okay? He was from the state of Washington. We've got him, the police would argue, we've got him dead to rights.
Dead to rights.
They still would have to get a search warrant to go through his house in Washington state. And I think we would all agree, rightfully so.
Yeah.
He is still innocent until proven guilty. And the only crime that this Luigi Mangione had committed that the people at that McDonald's were aware of was that he had bushy eyebrows. Oh, how many Americans have bushy eyebrows?
Like that? With the same height, same weight. I'm just saying, if I were seated next to him with my children at that McDonald's, you had bet I want those officers saying,
well, we're taking our order to go.
Let's make sure there's not a bomb in there. Yes, and in the meantime, I'm vacating. Because only one man got eyebrows like that in all these United States, and it's that guy.
Okay. Quick break for the news.
It would take one wax. It would take four.
Logan Weber is producing today. Sam is back tomorrow. Dana Wright. My name is Scott here on KMBZ.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.